Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Words, my friends in Christ, taken from today's Gospel, Trinity Sunday. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, yesterday's mail contained an invitation to me to join the AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons. And this was to enjoy all of its many advantages. Now, one of the other advantages of old age that I can now enjoy without joining the AARP, however, is to recycle old stories or anecdotes. And I'm at that age where people will be too polite to tell me that they've heard it already. So here's one that I've told a lot of you, both young and old, and I'll try not to drool over the microphone as I do so. I was a young priest in the 1980s visiting our church in Redford, Michigan for a weekend, and I was talking with a high school senior in the basement, asking what he was going to major in college. Engineering, he replied. It crossed my mind that his father was an engineer and that there were many engineers in our little congregation there from Ford and GM as well. And then it occurred to me that in my little Milwaukee Mission Chapel, there we had at least five people with engineering degrees, including the coordinator, his wife, the guy who picked me up at the airport, and his wife. As the years went on, I noticed this phenomenon more and more, that there was a disproportionate number of engineers among traditional Catholics: mechanical, structural, civil, computer, etc. Traditional Catholics who rejected the changes of the Second Vatican Council and sought out the traditional Catholic faith. And I noticed that many of our young people went into these fields as well. Why? What's the explanation? Well, at first I thought obviously it's a relatively safe field. You are spared the typical diet in the University of Modern leftist cultural rot. Obviously, too, your prospects for employment are good, unlike if, for instance, you had majored in the humanities, which probably would qualify you these days to pay your education debt off at Starbucks by working there and correcting the special of the day on the chalkboard. But the larger question is, why on the religious level is engineering an almost stereotype profession for trads? The explanation I eventually arrived at is this: that engineers are taught to think in a linear, logical fashion, to start with unassailable principles, to get the details right, to balance the equation. If you don't balance the equation, the bridge will fall down. Your emotions, how you really, truly feel about bridges, or you feel about the law of gravity, or you feel about the physics of wind velocities, they don't figure in getting the right answer. People who think in a systematic fashion, I think, instinctively understand the beauty and the logic and the coherence of the whole edifice of the traditional Catholic faith, how it all hangs together. This is clear if you open up a book that explains Catholic theology. All the arguments are structured, the terms are defined, the proofs are given, the objections are answered. And this is the legacy of the scholastic theology of St. Thomas Aquinas, and this is the way the faith was presented until the end of the 1950s. Go teach whom? Whom to teach? All nations. What? All things, whatever I've commanded you. Baptize, how? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Our Lord reveals the overall plan. Catholic theology, with all its precision, shows us in detail the specs of the component parts. But just as progress in technology, started to occur exponentially in the early 1960s, the church began to abandon the systematic and logical presentation of the Catholic faith. In the seminary high school during those days, I started to see the shift occur before my eyes, and many of the older people with us now started to see it as well. The new teachings presented our Blessed Lord as little more than a really good man, and our responsibilities towards him as simply being nice to others. Scripture ended up as edifying fairy tales, and the individual conscience ended up the supreme guide to morality. This reflected, of course, the popular attitude toward religion found in modern secular society. There are no objective truths, and let's all just be nice. The irony of this is that the society whose achievements in the natural order, such as computers, buildings, machines, communications, media, etc., were made possible only by logical, reasonable, objective, linear thinking, would abandon it for illogical, subjective, feel-good emotionalism when it comes to religion. It is this popular attitude, with all its subtle variations, that permeates the everyday world and the popular culture in which we all have to live, work, raise our families, and sanctify our souls. And it's one that we should try to undermine with the truth when we're confronted by others with these false ideas. So how do we do that? We could say four S's. First of all, see. You have to see everything through the lens of your religion, through the lens of the Catholic faith. Everything. Child rearing, end of life issues, education, everything. You have to look critically at what goes on around you, not so much to find faults in others, but to protect yourself and those whom you love. So that's see. Second, study. We provide a lot of material for you to study, for instance, in our church bulletin, different articles every week, or did you read Bishop Sanborn's newsletter that we put out last week, Answers to a College Student? So the study is an ongoing process, and it's especially important if you didn't have a Catholic education or only a minimal Novus Ordo one, or only a few years, let's say, of catechism classes. You have to make up on your own with this studying, especially if you're a parent, for the sake of your children. So see, study. Next, share. In not in the modern sentimental sense, but discuss the faith with people around you when you have the opportunity in a quiet and factual way. We could say here in this reference that the day-to-day business of engineering is not conducted amid the high drama and boiling passion of an Italian opera. The speck is either off by 1/10th of an inch or it's not. There are certain objective standards, right? Arguing between the optimist and the pessimist saying the glass is half full, the pessimist saying it's half empty, and the engineer simply saying calmly that is twice the size that it needs to be. So, see, study, share, and finally submit. Faith for the Catholic is accepting what God has revealed because of his authority. What God has revealed because of his authority. Feeling good really has nothing to do with it. That often comes along and is a nice thing when it does, but something is either true or it's not. It is to the specifications that God has laid down or not. And the virtue of faith for a Catholic is this, that we are habitually disposed to assent to what he reveals. So every day in the morning, you pray for this virtue, you say the three Hail Marys that Bishop Dolan recommended last week. You make your morning offering. And then you recite the Apostles' Creed. to begin the day and the act of faith, that is to say, the prayer. And that way, you will reinforce the virtue of faith for your day. See, study, share, and submit. When it comes to the faith, this is the program for you, faithful Catholics. You can become, then, an engineer for your soul. Learn to observe all things our Lord has commanded you. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.